Okay, we're holding Shmona Prakim. We're in the middle of the fourth chapter. Okay, so we're holding Shmona Prakim. We'll remind ourselves what we're reading, what we're learning. The Rambam, Maimonides, when he was young, was a big Talmid Chacham. The legend has it that as a kid he didn't like learning. And the legend has it that he lost his mother at a young age. And his mother was the daughter of a butcher, which in ancient times was a sign that she was the daughter of a pious man, because the butcher is the one everyone trusts for feeding them kosher meat. Only he knows whether the stuff's kosher. Everyone's giving him trust. Usually, in order for someone to be a butcher, he had to be a pious person, a God-fearing person. So the story has it that his father invested in having him learn, and he didn't want to learn. And then one day his father told him, you're the grandson of a butcher, so you'll be a butcher. I see you're not going to learn. Nothing's going to be of you. And the Rambam, the story has it, went into the Beis Medrash and cried. And cried and cried and cried. And davened to Hashem and said, I really want to learn. Help me out. And he cried so bitterly that he fell asleep in shul. Fell asleep in tears. And then when he awoke, he went with a new fervor to his learning and succeeded and became the great Rambam. And at a very young age, some say it was at 19, he composed the work on the Mishnah, which was a work he wrote in Arabic, which basically explains the Mishnah. We see from his explanation on the Mishnah that he already had halachic conclusions. He wrote it for the common folk, which used to learn Mishnah. The Yemenites used to rattle off Mishnah just like we sing songs. 20-30 years ago, when you had a lot of the newcomers from Yemen who had left the faith, who had become non-religious, so a lot of them on Shabbos would sit smoking and sit together and sing together Mishnayot, because that was their pastime from home. So they'd sit there not giving Shabbos, but the kids, that's what they knew. They knew Mishnayot, so they'd rattle it off. To this day, you can sometimes encounter some of the Yemenites who can rattle off a lot of Tanakh by heart and a lot of Mishnah by heart because they learned it by heart. So the Rambam compiled for the Jews in general in the Arabic countries. He compiled in Arabic an explanation on the Mishnah. And part of this explanation is his introductions. There's the great introduction to the Mishnah altogether, and then there's the introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, which is very famous, and the introduction to Pirkei Avos is another part of the Rambam's explanation on the Mishnah, which is very famous. You guys have the English translation, and we're holding in the middle of the 4th chapter. What we've seen until now is the Rambam's breakdown of the components of the Nefesh. The Rambam discussed how the human nefesh is totally different than any other nefesh, even though there are components that seem to be identical to the nefesh of the animal or the plants. We had seen how the Rambam explained that there can be illnesses when it comes to the nefesh, that a person has to work on his traits. The Rambam had classified for us the parts of the nefesh where from which stem a person's good traits and bad traits. And the Rambam had said, the Rambam over here is laying the foundation that a person can work on his traits, can become a better person. And what we had seen in the fourth chapter up until now is the Rambam had explained that there's a balance and that any good trait is the balance between two extremes. Person isn't supposed to risk his life doing all kinds of things. Person isn't supposed to be scared of everything. There's the balance, which is a brave person, but brave doesn't mean that he does extraordinary things which risk his life. And so the Rambam had discussed how each trait is a balance between two extremes.
Brave doesn't mean stupid,
but the Rambam had shown that even modesty is a balance between two extremes, and that this is the foundation the Rambam laid. אבל מה שעשו מקצת אנשים מן החסידים ומקצת הזמנים אשר נטו כלפי הקצה אחד, but what some of the Hasidim do that at times they do go to one extreme, the Rambam had said the proper way to behave is always take the middle path. So why is it that sometimes we see that there are certain chassidim who go to one extreme? Kigon atzom, sometimes we see them fasting, v'nidud sheina b'layla, or they don't sleep at night, v'aznachat achilat abasav shtiyat hayayin, and they forego eating meat and wine, v'achakat anashim, they distance themselves from women, u'lvishat atzimel v'asak, they wear sackcloth, they wear wool shirts that will scratch and bother them, u'mgurei arim, sometimes they go to secluded areas in the mountains, v'ahitbodedut b'midbarot, or secluded areas in the deserts. Lo asu shum davar mizeh al derech haripui. They did this in order to heal themselves, as the Rambam had explained, that when a person finds himself going to one extreme, so then in order to get to the middle ground, sometimes he has to go to the opposite extreme, just like you have metal that's bent one way, in order to get it straight, you have to bend it the other way to get it to be straight. So to the Rambam says, sometimes when a person wants to heal himself, he sees that he's gorging out, he's eating everything that he could get his hands on. So then we say, go to the opposite extreme, fast. Deprive yourself of everything but bread and water. And then slowly, after you find that you've overcome that weakness in a person's personality, so then a person can find the middle ground and go back to what's balanced. So the Rambam says, well, when sometimes we see chassidim that seem to go to one extreme, what they're doing is they're trying to cure themselves. But gam, another reason why they might be doing it is mechamat kilkul an sheiram, because the people around them are so decrepit, kasher ha'ush gam hem itkakru b'fgishatam itam uviriyat masehem, and they see that they too might get ruined because they're constantly encountering people around them who are like this and seeing how they're behaving. V'sheyesh chashash shechevratam tigom lehem kikul midotem, they think that because they're in their company, they'll learn from them, they'll ruin, they'll end up ruining their own traits. That's why sometimes they had to leave them to go live in the deserts, mekom shen sham adam ra, where there aren't bad people. Just as the prophet had said, Prophet Jeremiah said, "Mitneni v'midbar, if only I could go live in the desert, people all around me are sinning." His own family wanted to kill him. They put poison in his food. So Jeremiah says, people are so sinful, if only I could get out of here, I could go live in the desert. And when the fools see these pious people, shasu pulot elu, that they do these things, they don't know that the only reason why the pious people are doing these things are in order to get back to the balance. So they might be going to an extreme, but not because they make the extreme the ideal. The ideal is the balance, but they're doing that in order to become balanced. But when the fool sees them doing these actions, chashvu, so they think, shehem tov, they think, oh, you want to be a good person, fast all day. You want to be a good person, don't enjoy life. The Rambam says, no, you have to enjoy in a balanced way. Sometimes you see pious people who don't, well, they're trying to balance themselves. V'nagu b'hem, and you see fools who decided this is the way they'll behave. They adopt a certain behavior. V'choshvam sheyu k'motam, they think, if I adopt the behavior of this pious person, I'll be like them. And this doesn't work. They would pain themselves with all kinds of affliction. They think that now I've attained the level, now I've done something good. And through this, they think they'll come close to Hashem. As though Hashem were the enemy of the body, of material things. As though Hashem, what Hashem wants is for us to destroy the body. That's not what Hashem wants, says the Rambam. This is in general a problem. That people see what a pious person does and they think, oh, if he's doing it, so I want to be a pious person, I'll do it too. What people have to know is that work your way up. Learn, and learn what you have to do. And then when you understand what's going on, so you could slowly learn to emulate the people around you. But ordinarily, you want to be a good person, see what the average person around you is doing and do that. You think you should do more, so learn, and you'll learn how to do more. But just because you see let's say a person sees that the rabbi next to him, it takes him two times as long to daven Shmona Esrei. So he finishes Shmona Esrei, he says, yeah, but if I want to be a pious person, I'll stand longer. So he stands and chuckles for another 20 minutes, he has nothing to say. So we all recognize that that's foolish, right? Well, almost everything else is just as foolish. People see that.
Is there like a certain stopping point where should speed up a bit and not take forever to do everything if you're dominating with people?
Well, Shmona Esrei, we say, so long as you are the chazan, so go at the pace that works for you. You should go at the pace that you can understand what you're reading and focus on what you're reading. Sometimes you go too slow, you lose your intent. One of the reasons I don't daven in certain minyanim is because they go too slow. If they go much slower than I do, I lose my focus. So I need a minyan that goes at the pace I go. I can't go to minyan that's too quick. I can't go to minyan that's too slow. By the same token, Rav Nachman Mibreslov used to say that prayer is like a train. If a train moves at a good pace, so it gets where it has to go to, and if a robber tries to jump on, he can't really do it well because the train's moving. But if the train is slugging along, if it's going at a sluggish pace, so then all the robbers could jump on. So Rav Nachman said, if you pray very, very, very slowly, then every distraction in the world could stop you. You have to maintain a certain pace so that the distractions can't bother you. But at what pace? That's individual. Each person has to see for himself.
If you go too fast, you'll overshoot the stop.
Right. You can't go too fast. We're not looking. It's not a runaway train. What's brought down is that a person should pray at the pace that he counts money. And if you, someone had to pay you $2,000 and he gave you 20 $100 bills, you'd count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. You wouldn't want to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? You'd count at a pace where you could keep up, where you're focused on what you're doing. So too, a person should pray. So the Rambam says, people see the pious people, and the fools see that the pious people are doing things that lean towards the extreme, and they don't know, that those actions are extreme, and as the Rambam has explained, that anything that's extreme is bad. And that by going to extreme, a person can attain bad traits. Both extremes are bad. But the people see the pious, and they see that the pious are going to an extreme. So they think must be the extreme is good. That's not so, says the Rambam. They are similar to a person who doesn't know anything about medicine. שראה שהרופאים המומחים משקול החולים מסוכנים שחם על חנטל. He sees that the doctors, the expert doctors, have some sick people, so they give them this, I don't know what shacham al chantal is, but it's some kind of medicine. And the Rambam enumerates here some more Arabic names for all kinds of medications. And he sees that the doctors tell a person, you can't eat anything, you have to take this medication. And the person sees, that's how the doctors cured this person. He sees that the doctor saved the person from great danger. So the fool says, if this medication would cure the sick, certainly this will help a healthy person. It'll add health to a person. So he starts taking this medication on a daily basis. He figures, hey, if this cured the sick, then it must be good for the healthy. So he started treating himself like the doctors would be treating a sick person. Undoubtedly, this person will become ill. So to these people, these people are ill in their souls. They're ruining their traits, their midot. They're using what should be a cure, meaning going to an extreme, when really they're relatively healthy when it comes to their traits. V'zu ha-Torah ha-Shlema ha-Mashlemet otanu kmo she'id alea yodea Torah Hashem tmima me'machkimat peti. This Torah, says the Rambam, Zu haTorah Hashlema, this whole Torah, Hamashlemet otanu, it makes us whole. Kmo she'id alea yoda, just as the one who knew the Torah testified, Torat Hashem tmima, the Torah of Hashem is whole. Machkimat peti, it makes the fool smart. Meshivat nafesh, brings back one soul to the way it should be. Lo tzivta b'shun davar mizeh, our Torah, that is the whole Torah, never commanded us to go to extremes, to pain ourselves, to afflict ourselves in this way. Ela ratzta sheyehei ha'adam tiv'i holech b'derech ha'mutzat. The Torah wanted a person to be natural, to go in the balanced path, the middle path. Yochal ma shemutar lo lechol b'mitzua. He should eat what he's permitted to eat in moderation. V'yishteh ma shemutar lo lishtot b'mitzua. And drink what he's permitted to drink, also in moderation. V'yivol ma shemutar lo livol b'mitzua. And he'll have relations with the women he's allowed to in moderation. And he'll build the land with righteousness, with justice. The Torah didn't want a person to go live in caves or in mountains. The Torah didn't want a person to wear sack, wool. Wool over here, we mean the wool shirts that the people used to wear to afflict themselves. Veloshi yagia et gufo v'yaifehu v'yaneu. Torah didn't want a person to afflict his body, to tire out his body, to torture his body. And that's what we have a tradition that the Torah forewarns. Amal ben Nazir, the Torah says in regard to the Nazir, the person who takes a vow, he won't drink wine. He needs an atonement. So our sages say, what did he sin that he needs an atonement? Because he said, he took a vow, I won't drink wine. We know wine is something that can cause destruction in the world. Adam Rishon drank wine. Look at what happened. Noah drank wine. Look at what happened. We know that wine is problematic. Nonetheless, if a person says, I take a vow, I won't drink any wine, so he's going to the extreme. Torah teaches us that's a sin. One can derive from this clearly. If a person who afflicted himself, what did he do? Oh, he says, I'm not drinking wine. He could still have a beer, could still drink other things. Nonetheless, the Torah says he needs atonement. One who pains himself and distances himself from any pleasure, certainly he's going to need an atonement, because the Torah didn't want us to do that. The Torah wanted a person to enjoy life in moderation. And this is part of the Rambam's Akdama, his introduction to Pirkei Avos, in which the Rambam will teach us how the traits and the guidelines in Pirkei Avos are to teach us how to gain moderation, how to gain the good traits, which are the middle of the road traits, the balanced traits, as the Rambam explained in the beginning of the chapter, and as we'll continue reading as we continue.